Karima Brown, live,
online,
smartphones,
DSTV,
and 92.7
and 106 FM.
8 minutes after 8 o'clock, Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba has finally resigned from his post following mounting pressure for President Cyril Ramaphosa to give him the boot. The Transport Minister, Blade Nzimande, will take over as the acting Home Affairs Minister. Gigaba has been under fire in recent weeks after the Supreme Court of Appeal and the Constitutional Court upheld an earlier finding that he had lied to the High Court in the Fireblade saga. The Public Protector also recommended that Ramaphosa take action against him in terms of the Executive Members Ethics Act. We of course know that Gigaba met with Cyril Ramaphosa over the weekend in an attempt to smooth over the fallout of the court judgment. Well, as I said earlier, we will be bringing you reaction from various organizations, and we kick off with the Congress of South African Trade Unions, its president Zingiswa Losi. Zingiswa, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima, and good evening to 702 listeners.
Now, when I watch you being elected at the COSATU conference, you indicated that you wanted a reconfigured alliance. You wanted a ANC that was going to hold people accountable, and that you wanted a different organization. You wanted a organization committed to reform. Your reaction to the fact that Malusi Gigaba has in fact resigned from cabinet?
As the COSATU, you would recall that we had made a call for the president to fire a former minister Malusi Gigaba at the time when the ruling came out. And we welcome his resignation. And I think for him to also take a tune from the NASREC 54th National Conference, the spirit of ensuring that deployees and members of the ANC would put the interest of the country first and that of the organization. So as a federation, we really welcome his resignation even before the president could act on the public protector's findings.
Now, of course, many people argued that this was going to be Cyril Ramaphosa's litmus test, because there were court applications, not just for Mr. Malusi Gigaba's firing, but also for other ministers who have violated the oath of office. What is COSATU's position on the fact that the president might well have to proceed in this regard with other ministers, for example, Batabile Dlamini and Nomvula Mokonyane?
Well, we hope that the others who are implicated on a number of issues that have been raised in the public domain will follow suit from the likes of Comrade Malusi and the likes of Ndlandla Nene, who did not wait for the president to really act, but he understood that in our country we have bigger issues that we should be really talking about than talking about individuals. As workers, we are confronted with the issue of retrenchments that are taking place in the mining industry, and also at SABC, we are confronted with the rates of unemployment in our country that are high, the VAT increase. There are a number of issues that we should all be preoccupied with than individuals. So we hope that the cadres of the ANC who are deployed in government will take a tune from these comrades, and also from the clarion call that was made by the 54th National Conference of all of us as members of the ANC to put the country first and retain the dignity of the African National Congress.
That's where we will leave it. That's the reaction of COSATU President Zingiswa Losi to the resignation of Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba.
Karima Brown on 702.
Well, to get reaction from the South African Communist Party, I'm now joined on the line by the party spokesperson, Mr. Alex Mashilo. Mr. Mashilo, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima, to you and to your producers, as well as to the listeners.
Now, of course, your General Secretary, Dr. Bladen Zimande, who is also the Minister of Transport, has been asked to act in the capacity of Home Affairs. The reaction of the South African Communist Party to the decision by President Ramaphosa to ask the General Secretary of the Communist Party to take over this position in an acting role?
From time to time, the president asks different ministers to act in different roles while they are responsible for the roles in which they were appointed. So we ordinarily do not comment about acting ministers. However, in this case, there is this issue that has been very controversial, the issue of Fireblade. We would like action to be taken on that issue. Firstly, we have the Public Finance Management Act as South Africa. Contracts and tenders are issued in terms of the provisions of the Public Finance Management Act and regulations produced by the National Treasury. The so-called valid contract that the Oppenheimers claim they have and GABA gave them approval has to be investigated. In terms of which law was that contract actually entered into? For how long is it going to be running? There has to be an investigation into this. Why would an ANC staff member write a letter indicating that the contract has been approved? Does that have any legal standing in terms of our law? There are so many unanswered questions insofar as that is concerned.
Okay, final question. Final question, Mr. Masilo. The decision of the president to accept the resignation of Mr. Gigaba has been welcomed across the board. We've just heard the president of COSATU saying that they expect other cadres of the African National Congress to do the same thing. Now, of course, it's not just Mr. Gigaba that is implicated in wrongdoing. Is the South African Communist Party calling for more ministers to fall on the sword? And in this case, I'm asking specifically about Minister Batabile Dlamini and Nomvula Mokonyane.
We don't want to be personal on members of the cabinet and other South Africans. We must address matters of principle. What has happened in the case of Malusi Gigaba is that there was a court process, and in the case of Batabile Dlamini, there was also a court process. When Nene resigned, we said that this should be considered a precedent in terms of what we characterize as a period of self-correction. It is better if you are found to be guilty to resign on your own and relieve the president from undue pressure, as stated in the resignation of Malusi Gigaba.
All right, that's where we leave it. Thank you very much. That's the SACP spokesperson, Alex Mashilo.
Karima Brown on 702.
15 minutes after 8 o'clock, this is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702, and we are, of course, still getting reaction to the resignation of Minister Gigaba, who occupied until this evening the position of Home Affairs in the Cabinet. And for their reaction, I'm joined on the line now by the Executive Director of Corruption Watch, David Lewis. Mr. Lewis, good evening. Welcome to the program. Your reaction to Mr. Gigaba's resignation?
Frankly, it's good riddance. You know, I don't think it could have happened to a nicer guy, actually. You know, Gigaba was a disaster in Home Affairs. He was an absolute disaster in public enterprises, where he following, I imagine, the instructions of the Zumas and the Guptas, set up some of our key public enterprises for looting. Unfortunately, he probably didn't have enough time in Treasury to do huge damage there. But he, you know, I guess, you know, all that one could say about him is that he at least kept a few inches ahead of the curve by resigning rather than being fired, which I think was absolutely imminent.
Now, a lot of commentators have reflected on whether Mr. Gigaba had a choice, whether he was doing the honorable thing. In fact, a lot of the political parties say that they welcome his resignation. To quote the African National Congress, for choosing the revolution over himself and to place the interests of the ANC and the country above his own. Comrade Malusi remains a committed, disciplined member of the ANC, currently serving in its National Executive Committee. Now, Mr. David... Mr. Lewis, if one is not fit to serve in cabinet, how are you fit to serve in the leadership structure of the governing party, given that we have a party political system?
Well, let's see how far his ousting goes. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's the ANC's business, and they'll answer for that, I presume, at the elections.
Yes.
My concern as a citizen of South Africa is that he should be a leader in government, and I'm pleased that he's gone from that. You know, Gigaba and a number of others remind me a little bit of my early days in the Competition Tribunal, when we found that firms had been so confident in their impunity that they had lying around the most startling evidence.
Right.
And so with the likes of Gigaba, they were so confident that they were above the law, that they did things which, under normal circumstances, that had been fired a long time ago, but circumstances weren't normal.
Yes.
And they're starting to somewhat normalize now, and he has been caught out. And he needed to be removed. If he managed to get slightly ahead of the curve and resign rather than being fired, well, okay. But I think he was going to be fired. And as I say, if he stays in the leadership of the ANC, I think that's the ANC's problem. At least it's no longer the country's problem to anything like the same degree.
Yes, Mr. Lewis, there are, of course, also other ministers around whom there are major question marks in terms of credibility, ethics, and even acting illegally. One of which is, of course, Patabile Dlamini, and others would say someone like Nomvula Mokonyane. She is the one minister that the Skopa chair, for example, singled out as someone who has left nothing of her former department, so much so that they had to brief her successor on what he is going to have to deal with. And Temba Gordy is on record as saying Ms. Nomvula Mokonyane should never have gotten a cabinet position. Corruption Watch has been quite consistent on calling out members of the executive and other elected leaders when they transgress. Do you expect that Mr. Ramaphosa is likely to, get more ministers to fall on their sword? And do you expect a cabinet reshuffle?
Well, I don't know. But, I remember feeling at the time when Gigaba and indeed those two ministers who you've just mentioned,
yes,
didn't go in the first cabinet reshuffle, and thinking, to give the benefit of the doubt to the president, who was viewed quite widely as being somewhat sort of wimpish,
yes,
in not getting rid of them. But maybe he's going to reason that these are three people who, given sufficient rope, will hang themselves. And I did feel that at the time. And, Gigaba is the first of the trio to go, and he sort of has indeed hanged himself. Well, maybe Dlamini and Mokonyane are going to do the same. They're probably slightly more seasoned political veterans than Gigaba was, but maybe they're going to do the same. But I couldn't agree more with the argument that neither of those two deserve to be in cabinet. I mean, just by dint of the performance in their own portfolios, which are sort of the stuff of legend. The idea that Batabile Dlamini is minister for women's affairs, I think, is an insult to the women of South Africa, and that Nomvula Mokonyane, I think, is communications. I mean, absolutely rampaged over her previous portfolio, also an absolutely vital portfolio, is appalling. There's no question about it. But like I say, maybe they can be relied upon to do something that will remove them and spare the president the difficulties which probably still exist in a sort of factionalized and fractionalized ANC to have to do it for them or to them.
All right, thank you very much. That way we will leave it with Mr. David Lewis. He's the Executive Director of Corruption Watch. It's 22 minutes after 8 o'clock.
702 Karima's on Twitter at Karima Brown.
This is, of course, the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. We are continuing to get reaction from various groups in society on the fact that Minister Gigaba of Home Affairs has tendered his resignation to Cyril Ramaphosa. One of the organizations that have been very vocal about the need for him to step down and the need for the president to take action against him is, of course, the organization Undoing Tax Abuse, also known as OUTA. For their reaction, I'm now joined by Mr. Wayne Duvenage, the Chief Executive of OUTA. Mr. Duvenage, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Nice to be with you, Karima.
Mr. Duvenage, your reaction, I would assume, would be one of celebration and relief.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Long overdue. You know, we've laid charges against Malusi Gigaba last year. And as David was saying, he was given enough rope to hang himself, but he'd done that a long time ago. I think President Ramaphosa was very patient, but he had run out of his shelf life had expired, and it was a fait accompli. He had no option but to resign. The other side of that was to be fired, and he would have been fired very, very shortly. So. But that's not the end of him. You know, there's the State Capture Commission. I think we're going to see a lot more of his fingers in the pie of state capture. Our evidence that we have and submissions to the state capture inquiry shows that Malusi was very, very integral in state capture. Literally every engagement that the Guptas had, he was top of the list of those invitations for many years, even as far back as when he was Deputy Minister of Home Affairs. So so he's got a lot to answer for.
Mr. Malusi Gigaba tried to be media savvy. He went on the offensive about something embarrassing in his personal life. And then, of course, he also went on the offensive to try and suggest that he was acting correctly in the case of Fireblade. You have just given us the institutional memory of the totality of Mr. Gigaba's alleged offenses, which is, of course, that he was the great enabler of state capture. We saw the dramatic testimony of Barbara Hogan yesterday that put the president center and front of state capture because she believed that he wanted to usurp her executive authority over board appointments and so on. How does Mr. Gigaba's strategy appear to you, because he's not the only one trying to play for time. We see people like Mr. Moyani and others doing the same, but increasingly Cyril Ramaphosa is taking decisive action.
Yes, he is, and that's great. We've seen good things happening behind the scenes, and we know that many people are still frustrated that Cyril isn't operating as fast as he can, but he has his hands tied to somewhat. He is playing a bit of a game of political chess here. He has an election to contend with. He's got his own NEC watching over him. So I think every opportunity that comes, he is making the right decisions, and this is playing out now. So when you see somebody like Malusi Gigaba and his role that he played, he was very, very close to previous President Zuma. He was the enabler. He was moved into positions where he made a lot of things happening and certainly made life easy for the Guptas as they were able to move people in and out from India into their businesses and do exactly what they wanted. So the fire blade was just a silly miss. It was stupid of him. I mean, he just, as you said earlier, the impunity and the way that these people, the connected henchmen of state capture, behaved as if they would never be able to have to answer to their conduct, as if President Zuma was going to be in power forever and a day. Well, this is going to haunt them for the rest of their lives. And they're going to, if the rule of law takes its course, Karima, as you know, we say this often, and it is done properly, there are many people in very expensive suits that will be in jail. They have to go unless they flee, but we have to hunt them down and bring them back and answer to their transgressions. He would be one of them right at the top of that list.
Now, the previous person I interviewed from the organization Corruption Watch said that a lot of observers thought that President Ramaphosa was a bit wimpish when he only sacked 10 of the previous cabinet, which he inherited from former President Jacob Zuma when he resigned, and that there were quite a number of people that still needed to go. We saw, of course, recently after Mr. Nene's confessions about his relationships with the Guptas, or at least meetings, the president make an announcement that Mr. Mboweni was replacing him. Some of us expected that there would be more changes. Do you think that this is the start of more changes? And do you think that it is going to be played out in such a way that it's those individuals that are going to have to fall on their swords instead of Mr. Ramaphosa having to rearrange the deck chairs?
Yeah, I think in some cases like Nombula Mokanyane and Batabili Dlamini, a couple of others, if more comes out about their involvement and participation and their conduct is questioned, it gives him reason to call them in and explain themselves. That ball is now rolling. You know, fall on your sword if you are seem to be operating in a manner that is not fit for government. I think he's setting the bar higher and higher every time this happens, and Nene helped him a lot there. And yes, I think there could be. Otherwise, he's going to take a position of wait and see until the elections have happened, and he will move, if he gets the necessary support there, very swiftly to clean out. And that's going to be the interesting step. But I do believe that between now and then, in the next 6 months, we could see another couple of casualties.
Absolutely. That is Mr. Wayne Duvenage, the CEO of Auto.